I want to turn our attention, if I could, to verses 13, down through verse number 18. And look at this little thought tonight. He is the all-powerful God. This same one that Mary held in her hands. He's a very God, a very God. He's the all-present God this morning. Tonight, He's the all-powerful God. Just how powerful is He, preacher? Oh, He's all-powerful. Notice what David says about His power, verse 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. The all-powerful God. God's power, His all-powerfulness, cannot be fully known by an earthly. But it is here in these verses. Though the thought is awful deep, and it's way over our head, David embarks upon taking but a small, unnoticeable scratch on the all-powerfulness of God in these verses that are in front of us. I have turned my attention to who God is in these days, because I fear that there is a little God syndrome amongst many of us. We have had the audacity to throw Him out of the school. You say, well, He hadn't been thrown out of our school, we still pray. Well, I tell you what, if you're praying at your schoolhouse, you're in a violation to a Supreme Court mandate. You're breaking the law. You're not supposed to be praying. Been slung out of the schoolhouse. I didn't notice, if you noticed the other day, they slung him out of the courthouse. He's gone out of there. And you can be wrong if you want to. I believe he's long since probably left the church house. He's been replaced with a God of our thinking, God of our feeling. I want to turn our attention again to who the God of the Bible is. Yeah. Of course, getting to travel around like I do from place to place, I love to hear the silly things Baptists say about God. Ain't a bit of Bible to it. Right. Old Gail got up to sing the other night, and I heard several people amen. She said, like it was some great truth. She said, God is a gentleman. He'll never make you do anything. Well, that sounds good, don't it? I leaned over to my wife. I said, I wonder if Jonah thought he was a gentleman. Sure looks like to me that he made Jonah do something. Surely Jonah was laying down there with that whale juice all over him, laying up there trying to find himself, all his hair bleached blonde, God standing a foot of him, looking him square in the face, and he said, back to my original premise, I want you to go to Nineveh. You don't reckon Jonah did again and said, but no, all the buts are gone out of Jonah. How come? You'd come in contact with the all-powerful God. Here in this text, I notice as David alliterates on the subject of his being all-powerful, we're first of all confronted in verse number 13 with his powerful covering. His powerful covering. I notice in verse number 13 that there is an outward covering. He says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered the..." I didn't know if you'd see the ED or not. It's an indication that it was done in the past, guaranteeing a present result. All ED words in the Bible give us that indication. God has done something in the past, guaranteeing that something will be done in the present. I don't know if you're familiar with this little word, covered, or not. Most of the Hebrew words and the Greek words are picture words. Whenever the Bible writer would write that word, he would see a picture. So it is with this little word, covered. It has a multiple of pictures. One is to hide away a treasure until one sees fit to show it off. The little word covered here means to intertwine or to weave upon a tapestry or to thread a picture upon a tapestry. The little word covered here, it has the idea of to hedge about or to fence about. David said, before God ever had me conceived in the womb, it didn't happen at my salvation. It didn't happen when I prayed a sinner's prayer. But David said, before I was ever an embryo, ever at edge, ever before there was ever a conception inside of my mama, but God had hedged me about. And I was a treasure that was awaiting His display. I say, glory to God, that's big, ain't it? Huh? What is this thing of a hedge? Bible tells us that Job was hedged about. You remember Satan talking about he had a hedge around him? Do you remember what Job was doing when all hell broke out at his place and he lost everything he had, lost his kids, all his animals? Bible says that he was making intercession for his children, lest they had sinned that night at a party they had at one of the sons' house. Do you remember the first thing that God allowed the devil to destroy down at Job's house? Wasn't his kids? Oh, no, 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 no. First thing he let him destroy was his animals. How come? That's a big deal. No more sacrifices. No more prayers coming from Job. No more hedge. God lifted the hedge and the enemy come in like a flood. You need to watch that hedge around you tonight. There's only two reasons why God would lift a hedge. There's only one of two reasons why you're having any kind of trouble that you're having. God's either lifted the hedge for one of two reasons. Either for a perfecting work, trying to perfect you, or a correcting work. God lifted the hedge to perfect Job. His friends thought it was to correct him. God cleared that up at the end. His children, the hedge was lifted up on them to correct them, not to perfect them. Well, how can I know if it's a perfecting or correcting? This hedge has been lifted. Well, you might not know all about it while you're going through it, but you can know when you get done. If it's been a perfecting lifting of the hedge, you ought to get double for your trouble. You say, I've come up short. I didn't get nothing but the trouble.
I'd say more than likely it was correcting.
Yeah.
Heads. He said this hedge was placed about his children. When they got saved, God forbid. It's an ED hedge.
Yeah.
I was covered
sure.
before I was ever conceived inside sure. of my mother. Lord God, that's going to mess up some of y'all's theology.
Yeah.
Huh? Notice in this text, Matthew Henry says, because He is the God who covers us, He can, when He pleases, discover us. He is not waiting upon you to do something. It all depends upon Him, an outward covering. But notice in this text, it's much bigger than that. Not only does it involve an outward covering, but it involves an inward covering. David said in verse number 13, for Thou hast possessed us. There's that ED again. Past action, guaranteeing a present result. Thou hast possessed my reins. Isn't it amazing tonight? We had a song prior this morning to the sermon. Sister sung about the presence of God. God wanted to tell me I was on the right wavelength tonight. Had the dear brother to get up and stand and give a testimony about his reins being possessed. You'd almost think there's a Holy Ghost and a God in heaven, wouldn't you? That is these things. The little word reins. Do not miss this. He said, for Thou hast possessed my reins. The little word reins there is the seat of the feelings. It is the little word for the longings. It is the little word for the desires. It is the inner part of the nature that judges or decides. Some people have called it their volition. They've called it their free will.
Yeah.
David said, God said, for His children, before they were born, He possessed their reins. He said, I took their will into my hands. Do you remember the little passage in Proverbs? He said, the hearts of the kings are in my hand. He said, I can turn it whithersoever I will. I'm telling you tonight, if you got saved, your will was never called into question. Wasn't nothing called into question but His. Don't you remember the leopard when he got cleansed? He made an appeal to Christ's will. He says, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Do you remember what Jesus said? I will be Thou clean. Never a question of the leopard's will. The only question was God's will. The only reason that I will to follow Jesus is that He made me willing.
Yes, sir.
He possessed my... Preacher, when did He do that? He said He did it in an ED time, in a past action. Son, that's big, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what that's going to do to some of y'all, don't you?
Yeah.
It's going to take away your part in your salvation.
Yeah. Amen.
You didn't have nothing to do with it. And see, that's going to mess up some of you because that's all you've had to hold on to the whole time is what you did.
Yeah.
And now you ain't got nothing. Whoa. Now you're going to have to think about maybe getting some Bible salvation.
Yeah.
Possess their reins. He's got them in His hands. No wonder if that be true. If that be true. I guess that's why old Jeremiah could say, Thou hast called me to be a prophet from my mother's womb. I guess that's why the Apostle Paul could say, Thou hast called me and saved me by Thy marvelous grace before my mother had me in her womb.
Yeah.
I guess that's going to really mess up your theology when John the Baptist said that his mother said that God filled him with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. How could that happen? He ain't even prayed the sinner's prayer yet. He ain't even been down the Romans roads yet. He ain't even bowed at the Baptist church. He's already filled with the Holy Ghost. Whoa. This thing's bigger than you think, ain't it? Some of you think you had the little end of something big and you was waving the other end. Oh, you done found out this end's being waved. Whoa. He has possessed. No wonder. Years after it happened, my mama told me, she said, I never did tell you why you was a coming up, why you was a struggling with different things in life. She said, but when I was lost, she said, I didn't know God at all. She said, I was carrying you in my womb. She said, God told me it was a boy in there, and he was going to be a preacher. And she said, he told me that as clear as a bell. I don't have any problems believing that, because all of that was dealt with long before I ever stepped out of here and took a breath of this world. Huh? You say that's too big for me. I want a God I can handle, not a God that can handle me. You don't have the God of the Bible, then. It's powerful covering. I'm glad tonight he's got me covered. Aren't you? Got me hedged about. And he's got my will in his hands. He has possessed me from my mother's womb. Would you go a step further with me in our study? Not only is it a powerful covering, but the text says, speaks of his all-powerful God. Speaks of his powerful creation. His powerful creation. I am confronted in verse number 14. With praise for his powerful creation. Here David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm extremely interested in that little word, made. The little word means to create by hand. You're looking at an old boy tonight that was handmade. Wow. Handmade. Isn't that marvelous tonight? God ain't made no jump when he made me. He ain't make no mistake when he made me. I know I might look like a mistake, but you're looking at an old boy that's handmade. Huh? Ain't that amazing? Matter of fact, you know sometimes they put little tags inside of garments and they tell you various things about the garment. Well, you can't see my tag tonight. It's a spiritual tag. It's just out of visible sight. But the good little Holy Ghost has let me just see in a glimpse or two of it. And I've noticed on the little tag, it says that I was handmade. Said I was pre-washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then it says, wash daily with the Word of God. What a tag I've got on me tonight. You got any tag like that on you tonight? Handmade. I'm talking about a big old God tonight. But watch the text. He says that not only were we made, but he says that we were fearfully made. That little word fearful there, with reverence, attention to details. God didn't just throw me together. No! He had made me with attention to every detail. Very meticulous. Whoa, he's a big God, isn't he? Huh? Not only am I fiercely made, but it says that I've been wonderfully made. The little word wonderfully, to distinguish from all others. Different in design. Brother David, you can't see it on the tag, But where it says handmade, pre-washed in the blood of the Lamb, washed daily with the Word of God, down at the bottom, your wife will be glad of this. One of one. There ain't another one like me. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. You say, I got a twin. You might have one, but they ain't like you. Oh, no, 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 no. Hon, when he got done with you, he slung the mold away. Hallelujah. Aren't you? Some of you women ought to say hallelujah for that. Huh? Lord God, I'm glad there's not another one like him. One of one. Oh, God is so meticulous. But watch this text. Did you notice what David did once he saw how God had made him? I noticed that he did something, and I've been coming here now, I think for 7, 8, somewhere in that neighborhood, that I've never seen you do it. Now, I might have missed it. But did you notice what he did? Look at the text there, verse number 14. I will praise thee. That little phrase there. David has seen the bigness of God, and he wraps in praise. The little word praise here means to lift the hands while making loud sounds of thanksgiving with the mouth. When's the last time you did that? I can tell you why you hadn't done it yet. Because you've never come in contact with how big he is. He's still little. If he ever gets big, you just have to praise him. Now you correct me. I don't mind if you correct me. Correct me all you want to. Please show me anywhere in the Bible anybody ever praised God like this. Now, I know different people do it in different ways. God gets on me, I get to crying. I just can't quit crying. Some people like to run. Some people like to holler. I have jumped and shouted. God got on me this morning, I jumped up and shouted. Just different times, different ways. But I do know this. If you're going to praise God, you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to do something. It's not an I tell you, preacher, I'm going to praise him on the inside. No, you're not. No, you're not. You ain't going to prove it by me. Of course, I've heard tell, if it's going on in here, it'd get out here for you. Huh? I am reminded of an old boy. I preached a meeting for him not long ago. He's been saved for a number of years, but he just started pastoring a church there in Charlotte, North Carolina area. And he said he'd been dead all his life since he'd been saved. Never been emotional. Always been in a dead situation, church, unemotional. Didn't shout, didn't say amen, didn't do none of that stuff. And he said God dealt with him for about 5 years about lifting his hand in church. He said, God, I can't do that. I'm just not emotional. God just kept dealing with me. I want you to lift your hand, praise me at church house. He said one night God got him. He was down at the front of the church. He said the building was full, and he said over half of them was his family and his closest friends. And he said, Terry, this will be a good night for you to raise your hand. Man, he said, I fought it and I fought it and I fought it.
Yep.
He said, finally, I lifted my hand and began to praise God. He said, I cannot explain to you the peace of God that come over me for about 10 seconds. And he said it was over with. And he said, God whispered to me, he said, Terry, he said, I want the other hand too. Not a two-hander. Terry said, when I got the other hand in the air, he said, I was overwhelmed with the presence of God for almost 3 hours. He said, I was lost in ecstasy. I did not even know where I was at. You say, preacher, you know that seems silly, stupid. Isn't that all God's ever asked of us is something silly? Isn't that what He asked of the blind man after He put mud pies on his eyes? Sounds a little silly to me, putting mud pies on your eyes, don't you? But I tell you what, the blind boy sure does love mud pies. You look him up when you see him and ask him if he likes mud pies. Huh? Oh, here David is overcome with the bigness of God and he can't stand it. He realizes he's a fearfully and wonderfully made and he explodes and he goes to thank it all, Lord. Thank you for handmaking me. Oh, what a God. He's so powerful tonight. His powerful creation. His powerful covering. But I notice not only the praise for His powerful creation, but I notice the perception of His powerful creation. He said in verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee." He said in verse number 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance." That little word substance fascinated me even again today. The little word substance there is the individual parts separated from the whole. David said, God said, He saw all my parts. They were separated from the whole. He saw what my hands were going to look like before they ever come apart of my arm. He saw what my feet. Some of you think you got ugly feet. You don't have ugly feet. That's the feet He picked for you. Hello? You say, I don't like my hair. You don't? Tell Him you don't like it. He's the one who picked it out. Huh? He said, I saw all your parts before they ever was. What's the text? All this thing is so big. What a big God we got. He says, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought, the lowest parts of the earth. Watch that little phrase, lowest parts of the earth. That is a poetical phrase. It is our little phrase, similar to our little phrase, out of human sight. Out of human sight. He said, long before a human ever looked upon you and I, God saw our different parts laid out. Long before you was an embryo. Long before you was a conception in your mother's womb, God said, I saw your parts laid out. Oh, watch this thing. Whoa, is it big. Y'all are not enjoying this. It ain't making a hill of beans of sense. That's all right. I'll enjoy it for both of you. He said, verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, before there was an embryo, before there was a conception. And in thy book, all my members were written. That little word book, it is our little word design. God saw all the parts just like they were going to be laid out. And He had a design book. He already had a page in the book that was your design. You remember, He's only made one off of that page. One of one. And He took that design and He put it together just like He wanted you fashioned.
Yeah.
Glory to God, that's big.
Yeah.
Oh, but watch this. Oh, don't miss this. This is so good. He said, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Watch that little word, fashion. It means to chronicle by days. Not only did this design book have how all the parts were to come together, but He said, I chronicled inside of you. Before you come out of your mother, I chronicled inside of you all your days. He said, I know how many seconds you're going to be here.
Yes,
know how many minutes you're going to be here. Know how many hours you're going to be here. How many days, how many weeks, how many months, how many years. He said, I even know how many steps you're going to take.
Yeah.
He said, I planned out everything in your life from the first time you went, what? Until you go, huh, and everything in between.
That's right.
What a God.
Yeah.
What a God. Man. And to think that God would come and get inside of me as big and powerful as He is.
Oh, what a God He is.
For it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. No wonder David erupts and said, I want to give Him glory. I want to wave my hand and praise Him for how He has made me.
I hear young people today having the audacity talking about one of their younguns and saying, we didn't plan that one. He was an accident.
Yeah.
You might have not have planned him, but he was in the design book. And when they got to that page, they got the parts together and sent him your way.
Yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah, what a God. I hear people talking about birth defects. We need to raise some money. We need to try to help birth. There is no such thing as birth defects.
Yeah.
There's only birth designs.
Right.
Everything has been designed just like God wants it. The big thing today amongst Baptists, we want to get this Roe versus Wade turned back. We want to stop this abortion. You think God couldn't stop abortion anytime He wants to? He don't need us to stop. Oh, He needs us to stand up. Does He now? Do you think God really is looking for you and I to overturn Roe versus Wade? I'm not the one that flips it into action to start with. Have you ever sat around and wonder why we have abortion? Wonder why we're killing all these babies? Duh. There's only been two times biblically where there's been a wholesale killing of kids. Number one, when Moses was born, Pharaoh sent out a decree to kill all the babies. Said when they come out of their mother's womb, drown them. Why in the world would they have a wholesale killing of babies in Moses' day? God was announcing there's a deliverer coming. Moses, the deliverer, is coming on the scene. The second time there was a wholesale killing of kids, Herod sent out a decree. He wasn't killing babies in the mother's womb. Oh, no, he was killing them 2 years old and under. What in the world are they killing all those babies for? Jesus had come on the scene, and they were announcing a deliverer was coming. I wonder, instead of trying to overturn Roe versus Wade, wonder why we don't tell people, hey, there's a deliverer coming. He's a fixing to come on the scene. He's the all-powerful God tonight. He is very much running the show. I like that, don't you? His powerful creation. His powerful covering. Could I mention this last little thought and I'm done? His powerful consideration. I notice in our text there is a precious consideration. He said in verse number 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. That little word precious, rare, prized, too heavy for value, invaluable is that word. What's so invaluable, preacher? This, that God is sitting in heaven tonight thinking about me. Are y'all dead? You mean that don't excite you? That God is in heaven thinking about you? Lord God, some of you ain't give Him a thought today. Ain't stopped Him. He's been a thinking about you. Whoa. But, oh gracious, I hate to even show you any more of this. Look at the text. How precious also are thy thoughts. There's an S on it. Oh, gracious. Precious consideration. That little word thought means to fix the mind on, to think upon. Jeremiah said that God says that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're not thoughts of evil, but they're thoughts of peace. To do what? Jeremiah said, God said, to bring about an expected end. How I plan, he says, I've got this design book, and he says, I know how it comes out. And he said, that's what I've been thinking about. Oh,
Can you imagine God thinking about the likes of me and you tonight? Precious, rare, very valuable. Oh, but watch this. Oh, not only are they precious considerations, they're plentiful considerations. He says here, how precious also are thy thoughts. The S. Whenever there's an S on a word in the Bible, that means all of them. Did you know tonight, I cannot comprehend this, did you know tonight I'm in all of God's thoughts? Matter of fact, He's pretty much told me that He don't think about you at all. Matter of fact, He's about got me convinced He's got me in only child syndrome. He's done buttered my bread on both sides so long, He's done convinced me that I'm the only youngin' He's got. And He says that I'm just thinking about you. He says, I've got you on my heart. You ever heard people say, I've got something on my heart, I've got to get it off? He's got me on His heart, and He don't want to get me off. Huh? You ever heard somebody, I tell you, I got something on my chest, I just got to get it off. God's got me on His chest, and He don't want to get me off. Oh, gracious, isn't that big tonight? God is thinking about the likes of you and I. When I think about that, I think about what David said in Psalms. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou visitest him? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What a big God He is. Makes me want to sing with the songwriter when he said, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonders consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. But my favorite little verse is, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. I'm not going to wait till I get there. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior, God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. I'm glad tonight I got a big God. He's much bigger than I am. That's the message, preacher. Come close the service.